Well, today at both of our Gwinnett Church locations, we began a brand new series called Time Well Spent. And I want to say hey to those of you at Gwinnett Church Hamilton Mills. So fun to be with you last week as we celebrated 1 year there. Gwinnett Church Sugar Hill, can we give up for Hamilton Mill? Way to go. It's awesome. What an amazing first year. And so I'm thrilled that you're here. And so what I want to do is I want to take a couple of minutes to give you an overview of why I think you need to be here for the next few weeks. I'm going to be partnering with another teaching pastor that you may have heard of, Andy Stanley, who will be here. We're going to give him a shot next week, see how he does. And so Andy and I are going to talk about three ways to really leverage your time. But to do that, I want to kind of give you an overview, and then we're going to begin part one. To do that, we find ourselves in the award season right now, as some people call it. Tonight, an award will be given out called the Lombardi Trophy. We've never received that in Atlanta, but I'm hoping that maybe someday we will. Then in a couple of weeks, it's the Academy Awards. Then last week, it was the Grammys. And a couple weeks before that, it was the Golden Globes. And I love all the awards, but I think my personal favorite awards is something called the Darwin Awards, and it is awards given for human stupidity. I love this, and I want to read you my actual all-time favorite Darwin story award, and believe it or not, this crazy story actually leads us to where I want to take us for a few minutes today. This is the story of Larry Walters, and I want to read you from an actual news account, okay? So you don't think that this is some preacher story that didn't actually happen. This actually happened several years ago. This is the story of a guy named Larry Walters who wanted to fly. This is from the news report. He was a risk taker, and he got an idea one day while sitting outdoors in an extremely comfortable Sears lawn chair. He purchased 45 weather balloons from an Army-Navy surplus store and tied them to his tethered lawn chair dubbed the Inspiration One. He filled the 4-foot diameter balloons with helium and then strapped himself into the lawn chair with some sandwiches, Miller Lite beer, and a pellet gun. True story, by the way. Larry's plan was to sever the anchor and lazily fly to the height of 30 feet above his backyard while enjoying a few hours of flight before coming down. He figured he'd pop a few beers, then pop some of the 45 balloons when it was time to descend and gradually lose altitude. But things did not work out as Larry had planned. When his friends cut the cord anchoring the lawn chair to his Jeep, he did not float lazily up to 30 feet. Instead, he streaked into the LA skies as if he was shot from a cannon, pulled by the lift of 45 helium balloons holding 33 cubic feet of helium each. He didn't level off at 100 feet. He didn't level off at 1,000 feet. After climbing and climbing and climbing, Larry leveled off at 16,000 feet. That's 3 miles in the air. I love this next report here in the news account. At that point, at that height, he felt he couldn't risk shooting any of the balloons. I love that. So now he finds himself in real trouble. And he stayed up there, drifting with his sandwiches for several hours as he considered his options. At one point, he crossed the primary approach corridor of LAX Airport. Airline pilots radioed in these unbelievable reports of this strange sight. They told the story of a man who was flying across them in a lawn chair. In fact, they began every phrase with this statement, "You're not going to believe this." Eventually, Larry gathered up the nerve to shoot a few balloons and slowly descended into the night sky. The hanging tethers tangled and caught to a power line, blacking out Long Beach neighborhood for 20 miles. Fortunately, Larry climbed to safety, where he was promptly arrested by waiting members of the Los Angeles Police Department. He was led away in handcuffs, and this reporter dispatched to cover the story asked him, "Larry, why did you do this?" And Larry nonchalantly replied, "Well, a man can't just sit around." And so Larry received the Darwin Award. Now, I think Larry has something, I think he's onto something here. I'm not recommending you do this, but I think what Larry is saying is, hey, you and I have been given this precious gift called life, and we just can't sit around. You got to take advantage of it, right? But for many of us, it's probably the opposite, right? And I totally understand this as well. We're not like Larry. We got too many things going on. Not being critical of that, that's life. In fact, you may have remembered the illustration, a powerful illustration several years ago from author Stephen Covey. He had this empty jar on stage, and he had several rocks, large rocks, medium rocks, and small rocks. And the jar represented the finite time that you and I have, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And the rocks represented all the things we got to get done. So he tried to get all the rocks in the jar, and he discovered that you can't do that. Then he poured all the rocks out, and then he said, there's a secret, there's a trick to this. And he put the large rocks in first, his priorities, and then he put the medium and small rocks in. Everything fit. And what Stephen Covey was trying to illustrate to us is you have to understand what the big rocks are. And when you understand what the big rocks are, then you leverage time and you look back and go, that was time well spent. So the promise of this series is that Andy and I are going to give you three big rocks. It's not a complete list. It's not an exhaustive list. But I believe what you'll discover in these next 3 weeks is that if we'll take these three big rocks and lean into them, we will look back and go, wow, that was time well spent. Because men and women, we can't just sit around. Life is flying by. But what are the big rocks in your life, in my life? So I want to give you what I believe today, as we begin part one, maybe the most important big rock invitation that you have ever, ever received. And I know that sounds kind of big. And the reason it sounds kind of big is because it is big. This is a gigantic invitation. So what we're going to do, we're going to be in one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible, John chapter 21. But I want to set up John 21 before we go through this today. Now, the interesting thing about John 21 is it kind of reminds me of a Marvel movie. And let me explain this. Any Marvel movie fans? Cool. Yeah, Hamilton Mill. By the way, there was a guy that catered something for our staff the other day. His name was Thor. That made my day. I loved it. First, I thought it was Thor, which would have been really cool as well. But then he said Thor. I think, oh, that's awesome. So a Marvel movie, for those of you that like Marvel movies, you'll understand this. If you've never been to a Marvel movie like Avengers or Thor or Spider-Man, here's what happens. The movie ends and nobody gets up. The credits start rolling. And if you've never been, you can tell the rookies in Marvel movies because everybody gets up. But the veterans, they don't go anywhere because they know there's another scene at the end of the credits. Well, John 21 is something similar like that. John 20 is the foundation of our faith. Jesus is brought back from the dead. Jesus comes back and it's game on. And John 20 ends with these powerful verses, and it's kind of like the end, let's go, or this is really the beginning. It's kind of it sounds like the summation of all that's happened. But then John 21 kind of feels like it's like a glimpse about what's to come, a preview of what's to come. So I want to show you John 21, which is a fascinating, fascinating chapter. I'm so glad that God put this into the scriptures. And what I want to do, there's a lot of verses today, but as we walk through this story, I want you to be on alert for this. That there is a big rock invitation that Jesus is giving you and me about how to spend and leverage your time. So Jesus comes back from the dead, game on, and then this story happens. Watch this. John 21 says this. Afterward, after John 20, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. So these guys were hanging out. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, a little preview of where we're going, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. So these guys are fishing, and then they notice there's this one guy out on the shore. And then Jesus says this to them. He calls out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? I love this. Jesus is talking a little smack here, because he already knows the answer to this. It wasn't, did you catch anything? He's like, haven't you any fish? This is kind of a joyful, kind of poking fun at them. And Jesus, I think, is in a very joyful mood right now. Do you know why? Because he just came back from the dead. Everything has happened. He's conquered life and death. He sees his buddies out there and he talks smack to them a little bit. Haven't you caught any fish? And this is how they respond. No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Suddenly they look and think, that's Jesus. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumps into the water, okay? Isn't this just like Simon Peter? And so Simon's swimming to the shore. He's basically leaving the other disciples with all the work, by the way, because the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And then watch this next verse. This is really intriguing, really interesting, and it's going to lead us to where we need to go today. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. In other words, Jesus already had fish the whole time. So let me ask you a question. Why did Jesus ask the disciples to fish when he already had fish? He's trying to tell you and me something. He's trying to illustrate something for you and me that's really, really important. One of the things that Jesus is saying here is, hey, I know you got to go to work tomorrow. Hey, I know you might have kids to raise. Hey, I know you might have some health issues going on. Hey, I know you have some really important things in life. Fishing and working and relationships, that's the real deal. But don't let any of that overshadow what I'm inviting you into, all right? So Jesus asked them to fish. They bring all this fish in and they already discover Jesus already has fish because he's trying to illustrate something to them. So we'll continue. Jesus said to them, hey, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And then Jesus, he's got his fish here. He already has all the fish. He's already provided for them. They're bringing in the fish that Jesus asked them to bring in. And then Jesus said something to them. And this verse, I got our staff together a couple of weeks ago. And every year as a staff, just so you know, I kind of bring to our staff a staff verse. And I say, hey, in light of where we've been as a church and kind of where we're going, here's what, as I've prayed to the Lord, what would you like for us to lean into? And it's not that one verse is any more important, you know, but in terms of our experience as a church staff, I think this next verse is what the Lord has for us. And it is an incredible invitation. In terms of big rocks to lean into, I think it might be the greatest big rock to put into your finite jar of time. So don't miss the scene. There's the fire going, that Jesus has already caught the fish. There's some bread on it. They're towing in 153 large fish. And Jesus says, hey, here's what I want you to know. Come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast with me. And what Jesus is doing in this moment is, hey, I know you got fish to catch. I know you got money to make. I know you got kids to raise. I know you got this and that situation. I know there's some good things going on in your life right now. I know there's some challenging things going on with your life right now. But don't miss this. The most important thing that you can do is to come and spend time with me. And when you come and spend time with me, all of the other things will take its proper perspective. Because the reality for you and the reality for me, and maybe you've been following Jesus for a while, wouldn't you say this is true? Sometimes the pressures of life overshadow time with Jesus. And that's what Jesus is trying to illustrate. Hey, look, I know you got to go fish, but don't forget, I already have the fish. Why don't you come and spend time with me? And all of these demands of life will take their proper perspective. I also want to lean into what Jesus is saying here in this particular case. Come and have breakfast. I know not all of us are morning people. You know, they're morning people and evening people. I totally understand that, right? I was not a morning person until Wendy and I had kids. And when you have kids, you automatically become a morning person, whether you want to or not. But I think there's something about early in the morning before we head out into the day, right? Now, I'm going to do something that I've never, ever done. Here at Gwinnett Church, I want to tell you what our bottom line is for the day. But I want you to remember what our bottom line is. So I'm going to actually sing today during the sermon. This might be my last Sunday at Gwinnett Church, okay? Now, the reason I want to do this is because I want you on Wednesday to go, what was the bottom line? Oh, Jeff sang this. Oh, that's what the bottom line is, okay? But I'm not the only one that's going to be singing. I'm going to sing half of this line, and I want you to sing it back to me, okay? And Gwinnett Church and Hamilton Mill, don't leave me hanging, okay? Now, this isn't long, so don't be concerned. Don't leave yet. I'm going to sing an advertising jingle about the best part in the morning, okay? This was an advertising jingle that happened, and I'm going to sing the first part, and I want the rest of you that know this to sing it back to me. Now, those of you under 30, you're about to be really confused, all right? And just so you know, I can't sing. Matt Atkins, our worship director, has never allowed me to do this. He actually didn't know I was going to do this. So here, ready? Don't leave me hanging, all right? Those of you over 30, okay? The best part of waking up. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, give yourself a round of applause. That's awesome. And whoever is the Folgers marketing department person, that has to be a proud moment in your life, right? Those of you under 30 are saying, what is this Folgers you speak of? I understand that. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. I love it. It's just not true. Here's what our bottom line is today. The best way to start your day is to hear what Jesus has to say. It's not as crisp and clear as Folgers, but it's more true, with no disrespect mean to Folgers. The best way to start your day is to hear what Jesus has to say. Hey, I know you got fish to catch. I know all that's possible. By the way, did you know this? That all of the provisions, all of that actually comes from my hands? I know you got to eat. I know you got to work. I know you got to do all that. Come and have breakfast with me. Because the best way to start your day is to hear what Jesus has to say. And Jesus wants to have breakfast with you. Now, the reality for those of us is there's something that competes with us. And I'm not picking on you. I'm pointing and preaching to me at this moment. Let me show you what competes with this. For most of us, maybe not all of us, but for most of us, let me show you what competes with the best way to start your day is to hear what Jesus has to say, because we don't start here, we typically start here. And we wake up and we, you know, rub our eyes and we look at what happens to the world. And we don't start the day with Jesus. And so to do this, what I'm going to encourage us to do as a church is to break this habit, at least for 21 days. And I'll explain this in just a second. For the next 21 days, beginning tomorrow morning, I want those of us at Gwinnett Church Sugar Hill and Gwinnett Church Hamilton Mill to do this and not this. But you know this. This is going to be a new habit for some of us. When it comes to habits, you have to break old habits to form new habits, okay? So I want to give you an example, literally and figuratively, probably, of what you can do when you wake up in the morning. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. This is a cell phone jail. And you actually put your cell phone in it, and you just kind of lock it up for a little bit, right? And the staff has told me that they actually have the key to this. Which I hope. I don't see the key up here. But basically, what you do is you put your cell phone in jail for 5, 10, or 15 minutes. And before you hear what the world is trying to say to you, here's a crazy idea. We have breakfast with Jesus and hear what he wants to say to us. That's an extraordinary invitation. Now, to do this, to form a new habit like this, let me show you how change happens and how new habits are formed. First of all, you have to sincerely desire this new habit. You have to sincerely desire this new habit. Here's what I want you to think, and I think this is true. And there's a friend of mine that puts a chair out, and she just imagines that Jesus is sitting there. And while that might sound weird, I think it's actually very true, that Jesus is in this chair, and that you open up God's word, and you have some conversation with Jesus. We're gonna teach you how to do that in just a second. But I want you to sincerely desire this new habit, because Jesus wants to spend time with you tomorrow morning. And when you sincerely desire a new habit, then something develops. It's called discipline. Discipline develops. And you know, this is really, really important. Discipline develops. I tell our kids this. Discipline is really important. Discipline costs you something, but so does regret. And discipline weighs ounces, and regret weighs tons. And I don't want to get to the end of my life going, you know what? I just didn't spend enough time with Jesus. So that discipline develops when you sincerely desire it. And then when discipline develops, then that's when change happens. And habits are formed. And when habits are formed, then the change happens. And then I want you to see, there's so much that I think that can change in your heart and mind when we spend time with Jesus. But let me just give you two. Peace and strength. Peace and strength. So let me ask you, you don't have to respond out loud. Would you like more peace in your life? Would you like more strength for the journey ahead? It doesn't come here. It comes with spending time with Jesus. And over time, the consistency of time with the Savior of the world, he begins to give you his peace. He promised you that, by the way. Peace I will leave you and give you. And then there is strength for the journey. And let me just tell you this. I'm not trying to scare you. It's just real news. There's some wonderful days ahead of you. There's some challenging days ahead of you. And the best thing that you and I can do for both of those is to allow Jesus to grow our peace and our strength. And it comes with time with him. In fact, I want to show you how this works real quick in the scriptures. I want to take you back to another story that was very similar, a very similar fishing story in the Gospel of Luke. It's pretty much the same cast of characters, pretty much the same situation, but there is one primary difference that illustrates how powerful time with Jesus really can be. So this is what Luke records, very similar fishing story, but a different time and a different season. Luke chapter 5 says this. It said, when this is Jesus, he had just finished preaching, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, this is Simon Peter, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. By the way, I think we're starting to realize Simon Peter is not that good at fishing, because every single time he's not catching anything, right? Hey, we've done it all night. We got nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so all were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Again, kind of basically the same cast of characters in John 21. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. All right, so here's what I want to show you. This is so important, I think, and such a great thing to see what Jesus is trying to teach us here. Don't miss this. You know this. Jesus is the greatest storyteller that has ever been. And in the context of what's happening here and the circumstances of these stories, Jesus is writing us a subplot of the story. There are undertones to this story. And when you dig down deep into both of these stories, you see something different. That's a powerful invitation for you and for me tomorrow morning. Here's basically, there are four things that are similar in these two stories. There are the fish, there are the fishermen, there are the nets, and there's Jesus, right? There's the four things in John 21 and in Luke 5. Pretty much very similar story, all right? So here's what these four represent. Fish represent people, people to reach, people to tell about Jesus, people to reach with the great news of Jesus. Fishermen, fishermen, fisher people are workers. Workers for the kingdom, right? So for those of you in the parking lot at both of our locations today, you're fisher people. You're out there fishing for people. But it's not just church related. When you go to work tomorrow, how you approach your work, how you approach the excellence of your work, the integrity of your work, all of that, it's not just reserved on Sunday. All of that is an opportunity to work for Jesus. The nets actually represent the work. This is why you've heard me say this before. When I was in the business world for a number of years and people would come up to me and say, hey, Jeff, when did you decide to go into full-time ministry? And I'll always say, hey, I understand that question, but time out. I already was in full-time ministry. I already was in full-time ministry. And that's not because I was working at Christian Chicken. Way before that, busboy at Peachtree World of Tennis in Norcross, Georgia. I was a Christian then. I was in full-time ministry as a busboy. Because however I respond to those folks, it's a way that I represent Jesus, either good or bad. So the fish represent people, fishermen represent workers, the net represents work, and Jesus represents Jesus. That's how this works, all right? Now, I want you to see something, okay? Similar subjects, similar things in these two stories, but there's a huge difference in these two stories. And it's easy to miss this. Luke 5, chapter 5, verse 6 says this. And when they had done this, when they had done what Jesus has asked them to do in terms of fishing, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. All right. So in this context, the nets, the work that they're doing for Jesus begins to break. Watch what happens in John 21. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not broken. Horn. Now, in this story, the nets are breaking. In this story, the net does not break. And you might think, well, Jeff, that's not a big deal. I think it's a huge deal. I think if it's in the scriptures, it's a huge deal. And here's the difference between Luke 5 and John 21. There is a significant difference between this verse and this verse. There's a reason why the nets were breaking here and the nets were not breaking here. And the difference between here and here was simply this. They had spent time with Jesus. And when you spend time with Jesus, you experience strength and you experience peace for the journey ahead. It's why I told our staff, one of the worst things that we can allow to happen as a team is that we get so busy with the work of Jesus. We get so busy casting the net for Jesus. And by the way, it's been a really busy 9 years. You know, this has been an amazing 9 years. But if we get so caught up with the work and trying to catch people for Jesus, if you will, and we're not spending time with Jesus, eventually the nets of our relationships will break. Eventually the nets with our relationship with Jesus will break. And when that happens, the church begins to fracture and splint. In fact, I'm a preacher's kid. I've heard of dozens of stories over my life of churches breaking and splitting. And usually that happens when people have forfeited time spending with Jesus. In fact, you see this in the very next chapter in the Bible. Peter and John, who are in this story, they are told to stop talking about Jesus, and they're pretty much like, you can't. The only way you're going to stop us is you're going to have to kill us. We're just going to be bold about this. Because they had spent 3 years with Jesus. They had seen what he had done. They had seen and experienced who he is. And then you get this story in Acts chapter 4. Acts 4 verse 13 said, when they, the religious leaders, saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and recognized that they had been with Jesus. In other words, they had spent time with Jesus. And these simple, ordinary men, because of who Jesus was and is in their lives, there is a boldness, there is a peace, there is a strength that changed the world. That's why the best way to start your day is hearing what Jesus has to say. So having said that, what I want to do is I want to encourage our church starting tomorrow morning to go on a 21-day devotional journey. Basically, spending time, beginning the time with Jesus, so that we would break the habit and let's literally or figuratively put our cell phone in the jail cell and for 5, 10, 15 minutes, let's spend time with Jesus. Now, some of you, you know how to do this and that's great. Some of you, this is really new to you. Some of you, you don't have a Bible. And it, by the way, it would be our honor to give you a Bible at either gallery, at either location today. And you know how much it costs? F-R-E-E. Absolutely free. You can have two if you want them because you are at a very generous church. We would be honored to give you a free Bible. Now, but having said that, we, our team, we've created a 21-day journey, devotional journey. Now, here's how this is going to work. At 5 a.m., I'm not saying you have to give it at 5 a.m., but at 5 a.m., you're going to get an email. And here's an example of the devotion. This is day one. There's going to be a verse, and there's going to be a reading. And then I want you to pray, and however this reading or however this devotion plays out for you, then you can kind of take it for 5, 10, 15 minutes. And I would encourage us, if you haven't done this ever before, start small. That's a good way to start anything, really any new change. Start small. Maybe just start with 10 minutes. If you're new to all this, I would encourage you also, if you go to the gallery and get a Bible, ask about starting point. Ask about starting point. Starting point would be a fantastic way for you to begin this journey. Now, here's what you got to do, or here's what we're encouraging you to do. To get these devotions, all you have to do is to text GC21, GC21 to 555-888. GC21 to 555-888. You're going to get an email at 5 a.m. It's going to come straight to you. Our amazing team, they've already written this for you. It's all ready to go. And here's what I'm encouraging you to do. Think about what will happen 21 days from now. And hey, if you miss a day, Jesus will get really angry. No, if you miss a day, you miss a day. It's not about perfection. It's about consistency, all right? It's not about perfection, it's about consistency. If you miss a day, get up the next day and keep going. I believe the most important way to leverage your time is to understand the invitation that is before us individually, personally, and collectively. You know what that is? This isn't me saying this, this is Jesus saying this. Go ahead, church. Come and have breakfast. Hey, I know you got things. I know you got to go to school today. I know you got this test coming up. I know you got pre-cal coming up. I know you got all that and all the demands and all of that. I got it. Come and have breakfast with me. Now, let me close by getting personal to you. This is Gwinnett Church. Jesus wants to have breakfast with you tomorrow. That's true. But personally, do you know the extraordinary opportunity this is? Abby and Clark on the front row at Hamilton Mill. Do you know that Jesus wants to have breakfast with you tomorrow? Francis, where's Francis? I can't really see. Francis, do you know that tomorrow morning, Jesus wants to have breakfast with you? Rebecca, James, it's James' birthday today, 25 years old. James, Rebecca, Jesus wants to have breakfast with you. Don't miss this opportunity, because I guarantee you, when you spend time with Jesus, it is time well spent. Father, thank you. Thank you for your son. Thank you for what he did on our behalf. And thank you for your humility. With everything going on in the world, tomorrow morning you would say to us, hey, 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 come and have breakfast with me and listen to what I have to say over you, about you, through you, and who you are. And what I'm believing, Father, is that over the course of these 21 days, there's going to be a breakthrough for people that are listening to this message. Not because of anything that we do, but just simply because we'll carve out the time, we'll break an old habit, and we will begin to spend more and more time with you. So I pray for these next 21 days. I pray for everyone that's going to do this. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen in this journey and beyond, because spending time with you is incredibly time well spent. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Gwinnett Church, I love you. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.